Ms. Avery Doria joins.
I would like to inform all parties that this time the conference is now being recorded. Should you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. Please continue.
Hi, this is J. Scott Evans, chair of the working group work team. If we could have Gisela give us a roll call, please.
With pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's call we have J. Scott Evans, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Jonas Soininen, Alexei Mikhailov, Ilya Vasilyankov, Avery Doria. From staff we have Marika Konings, Ken Bauer, Glenn de Saint-Géry, myself, Gisela Gruber-White, and apologies, we have Caroline Greer and Nacho Amados. If I could also kindly please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you.
First thing, this is J. Scott Evans speaking, is I noticed that Ilya and Alexei are not on the Adobe Acrobat. We have the document posted. Is that Alexei has just joined us?
Yuri just took me time to connect.
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Esabaya joins.
Hi.
Hi, Sabai. So for the record, Sabaya has just joined the call. And he is signed on to Adobe. So the only person we're missing is Ilya. And I'm not sure if that's because you can't do that. But that's where the document is actually posted. But it's also on the wiki, so if you can get to the wiki, you can look at the document on the wiki that we'll be discussing. Housekeeping issues, as I pointed out earlier to the group before the recording started, so just get it on the record. In reviewing the document this morning, I found a typo in paragraph 1.4, It's the second, if the council review determines that it is wood, so that's where there's just some awkward wording that needs to be cleaned up. And then again, in 2.1.4.2, the one that I was looking at, which was the Word version, because the PDF posted on the wiki had cut off the beginning of the sentences, there was still a miss in the second line. Liaison may fulfill is misspelled.
I've corrected those.
Okay. So having given those, I wanted to bring up to the group, I know we passed through this section, but I want to bring up to the group in 2.2, team member roles and responsibilities. I find this section, this paragraph that begins after all the roles, a suggested procedure to conduct elections can be sort of awkwardly placed. Anybody agreed, disagreed?
Yeah, this is your name. I mean, like, it's not completely logical that it's there. A little bit difficult to maybe understand how you end up here. So finding another place for that most probably would be good.
It just seems awkwardly placed. We go through all this and it just seems it comes out of nowhere. And I don't know if maybe Marika and Aubrey, because you all deal with, if that might be better suited place before you discuss the particular role and just say as a general broad brush, this is how you could do elections. Oh, and here are the things you can elect. Any thoughts, concerns, disagreements? Cheryl agrees. Okay. Marika, if we could just look at maybe putting that in a different location, maybe preceding the actual roles. It just seems awkwardly placed.
Okay.
Also, I noticed in reviewing the earlier revisions that we had done that in the section that talks about appointment of a chair, meeting, I think, election of a working group chair. I think Aubrey had mentioned, and somewhere I think we had agreed, and I didn't see it, that somewhere there needs to be a statement that the working group's work should begin immediately. It shouldn't be waiting on hearing back from the charting organization on the chair.
J. Scott, that sentence was added just above section 2.3.
Okay, let me get there then. I just missed it.
But I'm happy to place it in another section if the group... I thought the group discussed to have it there, but I'm happy to put that somewhere else if that's what the group is.
Cheryl here, because we've moved the suggested procedures up, perhaps that sentence could be obviously moved up with it or alternatively moved up with it and not speak specifically just to elected chairs but the outcomes of elections.
Yeah, but that's not the... I see here there's a sentence after the that talks about the procedure. That's the section I was talking about. But Aubrey's point, as I understood it on our last call, was there needs to be a communication to the working group that the fact that its provisional basis shouldn't hold up the work of the working group, that it should go right into its work. Aubrey, was that not a point you had made?
Yeah, this is Aubrey. Yeah, that was a point, and it only applies to the chair because the chair is the only role that needs to get confirmed by the chartering organization.
Yeah, and I was just saying there is a section up above that talks about the election of the chair of 1.4.4. And I thought we had said somewhere we want to clarify that while this clause, it does go back up for charter organization review, that we need to have an affirmative statement that that is not in any way to delay the work of the working group. It should continue forward. So that's a sentence that needs to be placed in that section. Does everyone agree?
I'm okay with that, Sabaya.
And I see that I have here from Cheryl that she believes that's her understanding as well. Okay. All righty. So I believe we're at 2.3. Am I correct?
Yep.
And I think that, you know, unless anybody's got any problems, I think this is pretty well done. Do I hear any concerns?
No, it looks good for me. Mm-hmm.
Cheryl here. Looks fine to me. I've just on reading it, and probably only because I'm reading it again and thinking about what we just said, we never mentioned with a sub-team that a appointment within a sub-team in a leadership role for meeting coordination is a good idea and, you know, please see above, but the role isn't actual chair and it doesn't need to be confirmed.
Yeah, that's a good point. That the best practice would be to point a coordinator.
Coordination lead role type thing.
And we need to cover that. And I also think that last sentence should be bolded. The last paragraph, which is just one, should be bolded. Because I think that's very important. Does anyone disagree?
J. Scott, I'm agreeing, but I've actually put my hand up for a very good reason, and that is that depending on where you're coming from and what your, I don't mean philosophically where you're coming from, but experientially where you're coming from. If you've come from the incorporated association world in Australia, for example, you always make sure that you tell a subcommittee that it is only a subcommittee for the life of the task that it's been put forward to, and that its decisions are not binding on the larger group, because sometimes they can be if you don't tell them, so that there's no dean delegation, etc., etc. May not be an issue here. I just thought of it as I was reading through and sort of did sub-team, subcommittee. Ooh, is that the case in your world? Now I'll put my hand down.
Okay. Thoughts, others?
Along the same lines, I just picked up on what she just said, that, you know, maybe it's worth putting in a couple of clause or something to say that the sub-teams do have a life, in the sense that, you know, they don't just, you know, they may finish their work, but they don't just sit there. I mean, that does that make sense? I mean, if some of the, I mean, that should be in that. I've known of sub-teams, you know, going on for years when even the original issue has already disappeared.
Yep.
That's a nice
thing. It's hard to get rid of.
Okay, so Marika, as I've heard two additional points that need to be covered in here. One is that the an appointment of a coordinator or leadership person that will serve to set up and work with the logistics of a, and that that doesn't need to be in any way confirmed or approved. Also, that the life of the sub-team, even though it seems logical, should be explicitly stated, would last no longer than the life of the work group, working group. And then I suggested that the last sentence be bolded.
Okay.
Okay. So we're moving on to section three now. Is that correct? Everyone ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Any comments or concerns or wordsmithing that someone feels that needs to take place in this section? Hearing none?
Nope.
Going to move us on to 3.2.
On.
Good to me. Anybody?
Yep.
Have concerns? Okay.
Nope.
3.3. Everyone else okay?
Mm-hmm. Looks good.
3.4.
Yeah, it looks like I had some comments in that one. This is Aubrey.
Comments, Aubrey. And they're in blue. So
and they're in blue. Isn't that pretty?
That's
yep.
Cool. Would you like to...
sure.
The group, please?
Yeah, I mean, it's as I say here... I have real trouble with civility as a criteria, and I know that I try to be civil, and sometimes I succeed, sometimes I fail, but I have real trouble with it as a criteria, as it's not something that has an objective standard, and it's really the type of thing that allows people who are an authority to sort of condemn as uncivil anyone who disagrees with them or disagrees with them too strongly or disagrees with someone
that they approve of. And I think that the Liverpool statement you have later is a good explanation of do's and don'ts without using such a fuzzy notion of civility. So while I don't object to including, you know, objective criteria of proper etiquette, civility, you know, I consider people who are unctuously polite and condescending uncivil, but, you know, most people would consider that just a normal way of for superior people to treat us inferior people. So I just have trouble with it.
I see that Ken is in.
Yes, hi, J. Scott. Ken Bauer. I just wanted to put this all the language here in a bit of context, in case we've maybe forgotten. I lifted originally all of this material, and it's in quotation marks from the ICANN's expected standards of behavior. We also talked, at least at one of our other sessions, about actually not putting this language in the document, but placing a link there so that somebody would go to the ICANN site where this language appears to read what those behavior standards are. I'm not so sure that at this point, and all deference to Avery, that we have the that we should be, you know, trying to do changes to this kind of thing, since it is in fact ICANN standard ethical standards of behavior.
Well, this is
Wait! I've got my hands up, Jonas.
Those
that aren't familiar, so you'll know and help me out. On the bottom left-hand corner, if you're in the Adobe room, little fellow holding up his hand, if you will click that, it'll hold up your hand. So as I believe, I'm not sure if I've got these in the correct order, but I think it's going to be Avery, then Cheryl, then Jonas. So Avery?
Okay, yeah. I think it's problematic that it's listed elsewhere, but that's and that's a different fight for me for a different time and a different place. However, I don't see any reason why just because an ombudsman may have posted a set of rules about civility is any reason that we have to include that word in these prescriptions. As I said, the Liverpool description is really quite explicit, and you've got that in the document, and I'm not suggesting that that be removed. I'm just saying, you know, I consider people who talk to me in a professorial voice trying to tell me why I'm wrong to be uncivil.
Okay, Cheryl?
Thank you, J. Scott. And, in fact, what I was planning on saying was, I think, now even more useful because I'm following immediately on from what Avery said. I was going to propose and that what we do is from the point where you end up in sentence, members of the ICANN community should. That part of that sentence could be replaced with something such as the link to other information provided by ICANN on this matter is seen at, and therefore remove from this document the words members of the ICANN community should treat each other with civility, a contentious word in some people's views, an essential thing in mine, both face-to-face and online, and remove it from being enshrined in this document because, as Avery says, these are arguments to have in other places and spaces, but still do the link back to whatever other documentation is more organisational wide. And now I'm putting my hand down.
Okay, Cheryl. Jonas?
Yeah, I was maybe on the same lines as Cheryl is. Basically, that if this is something that is picked up from somewhere else, this is a great example why it should be as a link and not copied, because then it's clear that where it points to and where it comes from.
Okay.
Hi. This is obviously a very tricky thing in terms of solving the real thing. Now, I'm okay with making it a link and so on and so forth, but I want to address something else, that There are a lot of things in this document that don't really matter. I mean, on a day-to-day basis in future working groups, surely most of them don't matter. There are a few critical things that matter, I think. This is one of those, because I think Avery's right. I mean, all of us probably have been on, you know, email lists and committees where, you know, some people get, you know, in someone or other opinion, you know, uncivil. And it can get to the point where the committee can't even function, you know, I mean, where people get so bad that they can't even function. So there is a real problem that we should think in terms of addressing here if we really want to. That is that we can just, you know, we can just say this is fine and just point the link and then just go forward. But we know there are going to be committees out there where there are going to be people out there. They are going to do this in the future. So the question then is, what is civil and what is uncivil? I mean, that's, you know, that's a whole, you know, as Avery says, it's impossible to determine almost, right? But perhaps more important is what to do when such a situation, whatever you define civility to be, arises where the working group can't even function because there's somebody or a small group of people. You know, if it's a majority, well, then, you know, it doesn't matter. But if it's a small group of people or one person really, you know, makes it to the point where people are leaving the group or don't want to participate or it's just, you know, a real fight, you know. I mean, when that happens, what do you do? Is there a mechanism to put an end to it? Either to close the committee altogether or get rid of that person? I mean, you know, is there not a question of defining what civility and non-civility and all that is, but rather what do you do in that situation? For example, a drastic, you know, I don't know whether it's right, but it's a drastic thing could be there could be a vote of everybody on the committee, including the chairman and everybody, and they say, look, you know, this we cannot work with this person or something along those lines, and then send it up to the chartering organization to make a decision. I don't know. I'm just throwing something up here.
Okay. I believe I saw Cheryl's hand go up. Nat.
Thank you, Jay Scott. I hear what you're saying, and in fact, I definitely agree with your concerns, but I actually see what you've said as the need for a control mechanism to fit firmly back in with some of the conversations that we had about what you need as a chair or as even as an independent chair, and certainly what you need to perhaps be upskilling some of our chairs with. This is all about how a meeting manager sets a culture and a tone and what is or is not acceptable. And it's very much towards the early intervention in a most productive manner by a leader at the time where anything that is felt to be potentially heading into a disastrous or train wreck direction it needs to be intervened. I don't think, yes, I think you need to have those some form of controls and a recognition that there will often be situations where people join working groups to do nothing but be destructive and perhaps totally shut down the system. But we can't build for that expectation. We need to recognise it as a risk and we need to put in risk management tools, but I think that's a matter of tools you give the chair, maybe in training, maybe in fallback positioning, but I'm not sure it hinges on having it enshrined here in this document. And I'm happy to give you several examples of where a chair without fear or favour can do that.
Okay. Avery?
Yeah. Hi, I absolutely have no disagreement with Cheryl on the need for a chair to keep, you know, the energy going, but in a controlled and positive sense. In terms of making reference to anything that's on the website, I think if it is a board-approved policy or rule that has gone through community review, of course it's okay to include it by reference. I think if it's an artifact of, for example, an ombudsman role, which is something that is external in a sense to the community, but a review of the community, then I think it's highly inappropriate to include it. Hand down.
Yeah, Subhaya here. No, I'm all fine that the chair should, you know, control it and all of those things. But I think that, you know, I think that you're going to certainly get cases where the chair will be faced with a situation and he can't do nothing. I mean, you know, he tries, but he can't. And if I was a chair and something was happening and I realized it's, you know, it's getting out of control, I would really like, as a chair, if I were to have a, to be able to go to some, you know, document and say, here's the line, this is what tells me how to take care of the situation, and okay, call a vote or whatever, you know, something that is specific that I can go for, and this way I look really neutral when I take care of the situation, right? That's what I was looking for, but I guess, you know, it's not easy, so I'm just going to leave that and, you know, whatever. You know.
Okay, Marika, I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to Avery's point, these expected standards of behaviors are actually taken from ITIN's accountability and transparency framework, which was adopted by the board, you've seen here on the website, on the 15th of February 2008. I mean, I don't know the history, if it was put out for public comment and feedback and things like that, but it is a board-approved document with this in it, just to clarify.
If we want to include a board-approved document, yes, but to include this document that has that plus all kinds of other ombudsman-y stuff that's very superior and supercilious, I find problematic.
Are you referring to the second part of it?
Well, I'm first of all referring to the word civility, and then I'm referring by reference to including the ombudsman's, you know, civility treatise.
Okay. As chair, I have a couple of comments to make. One is not chair-oriented. It's a position that my opinion. I disagree that we should, with Avery, that we should put words in here that are different. We have to have some sort of standardization. It's when we get in, this is one of the biggest problems that ICANN is that there are 17 different words depending on who put it together. And then everybody wants to argue about the fact that one says civil, and one says cultural, and one says this, and it never gets resolved. And then that's where we get with Sabai's point is, then the chair feels like they don't know what to do. And the whole point of this is to grant an outline or a basis of a document for someone to get something done. So, and I see that Avery disagrees with my position, but that's my position. But I, of course, am a neutral chair. I just wanted to put my position out there to the group. What I would suggest we do with this section, Marika, is do a little homework with regards to this and find out if this is a board-adopted position or if there is a board-adopted position. I know that in all the charters that are being rewritten and approved by the staff as they work through this reorganization process, they are making each organization put this type of wording into their documents, into their charters. At least they did for the IPC, and it was, I think, a standard thing that they did. So that's it. I see that, I think, Marika, you're next, and then we'll go to Sabai if his hand is still up.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Marika. Because just to clarify, and maybe that has caused confusion because, you know, by putting in two different things in this chapter, the first part that basically goes up to the yellow highlighted section, that's all taken from ICANN's accountability and transparency framework, which was adopted by the board in 2008. The second part below the yellow highlighting, that is something separate that I put in there for something for the working group to consider as an other framework that has been put forward or has been used or referenced in past discussions in relation to how to communicate and what kinds of norms to respect. So I would maybe like to propose that the group treats those two things as separate elements in deciding on whether they would like to keep it in or reference or link it, and not treat them as one and the same. So, I mean, I apologize for that confusion, but those are two separate things and separate sources. So.
Well, I personally have heard several people, Cheryl, Sabai, and Yonan, all say that they believe the best practice here would be to say that members of the working group are expected to meet these standards of behavior, which are outlined in this, and here's a link to that. Is that correct?
You read my mind, Jay Scott.
And yeah, this is your name. Like, as long as it's board approved and the kind of like ICANN standard, yes, that's fine.
So,
Cheryl here again, just pointing out that the reasons that you will find, and for very clear biases now when you hear who's speaking to the matter, that the Liverpool developed communication, respectful online communications, is enshrined in at large and the ALAC world ROPs is because it's an example of external to ICANN best practice, and we would like to aspire to not only following best practice models but internationally recognised best practice models, and we will change to a better best practice model whenever it exists. And from that I go back to my my ACDC, my Australian Commercial Disputes Resolution training, not within the world of ICANN.
Well, what I would suggest us to consider is that we put this in, and we put this link, and that would cover that. And then perhaps we give some guidance with regards to perhaps some of the concerns that Aubrey has, and then we also give them this outside document that might give them some further insight on how to deal with these issues. Does that sound?
Yeah. Subhaya here. I think that sounds okay. I mean, where you say, look, you know, over and above this, you go look at other best practice documents. But it still doesn't solve I don't think we're going to solve it here, but I just want to point out that it still doesn't solve the central problem of, if I'm the chair and somebody's misbehaving, I see this document, I see the ICANN board document, I see the Liverpool statement, I see all of these things. But how do I still decide whether what somebody did is uncivil or civil? That's, the whole thing. I mean, I have this document in front of me, but how do I go about actually deciding myself? You know, that's still not solved. But
I guess at some point that common sense has to come into play.
Okay.
At some point. You can't script everything.
Okay. Yeah, but
I the problem to me, this is not really what you decide. It's going to be where you go.
Yeah.
That's the check, right?
Yeah.
Whether you're right. Misconstruing this or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I just suggest something. Maybe the way out to the chair would be to say, look, if the chair comes to some conclusion, right, and okay, maybe he talks to a few people on the committee, whatever, but he comes to some conclusion, and he's going to go through the usual steps of saying, don't do this, don't do that, private, but it's not going anywhere. Then you come to the point where you have to decide where to go with this, right? At that point in time, would it be worth saying the chair should go or is recommended should go to the liaison and the chartering organization and confer with them before going to that next step? Is that a way of giving some...
If you go down in the document and you go down right above 3.5, it's really not a chair decision.
Okay.
As it's written, it's a working group member that would go to the chair because they feel like they've been abused.
Right.
The chair and the liaison, based on this concern being raised, would address the issue at the working group level. If affected individual or the perceived affected individual believes that has not resolved it, they go to the chair of the chartering organization.
Okay.
Really not, as I see it written, we not in any way recommended that the chair become the babysitter, where he or she is saying, side notes saying your behavior is uncivil. It takes a working group member to bring that forward. And I would assume if the working group member is the chair that feels abused, they would go to the liaison. And maybe that needs to be is to say if it's the chair that feels this way, they should go to whomever. What do others think? Aubrey, I'm sorry, your hand is up. I apologize.
Yeah. No, okay. I just wanted to, first of all, say to Marika, yes, she's right. I did go and look at the accountability and transparency guideline, and indeed the word civility does show up in there, unfortunately. So I think, yeah, it is reasonable to have inclusion by a pointer, since that is a board-level document, to point to that. I think anything else, like other standards that people may or may not think are useful, are certainly fine to somewhere to have as informative things that, you know, you can read this, but certainly should not occupy anything that resembles a normative role in the document. So, you know, we're stuck with the notion of civility because it is in, and, you know, we'll just have to start bringing unctuous politeness as a civility claim to do something about that in the long run. But, you know, in the short run, since it does exist in that, I think including, you know, reference to has to behave according to the standards set in the accountability and transparency guidelines is a fine way out of this.
Okay, and I think that, though, that the more important area is that that guidance we give above your comment, that we tell them what the process is when somebody feels like that's been violated, which is Ty's point, is to give everyone some idea of what do you do when you feel like this has been abused. Where do you go? What do you do? And right now I think this is okay when it applies. This is my opinion. I'm not advocating. Just I'll look to others to say. But it seems to me that this is fine, but there's one thing missing is what if it's the chair that feels abused? Because you certainly don't want the chair to have the power to resolve that situation. They need to go to someone else, in my opinion. Thoughts?
Yeah, it seems okay.
Although, this is Aubrey again, people that are chairing should be able to, I mean, if it's an extreme case, then everybody in the group is going to see it. But people that are chairing should have slightly, I don't know, tougher skin than to get upset about a little bit of incivility. But that's just me. And I spent, you know, 25 years in the IEDF. And you just, you know, it's the way people are sometimes. You know, one of the things that I find is definitely missing from all our standards is a notion of tolerance. That sometimes what we view as uncivil is just because somebody got frustrated and or someone, you know, doesn't quite understand. And we seem to have gotten so much into civility that we've lost any notion of tolerance. And that's what really worries me. The more we say civility, 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 the less we say tolerating the foibles of others. And that has always upset me. But I'll get off my rant and stop talking about it now.
If we gave some guidance in that regard, and to say these standards apply, but in looking at these standards, you should consider those types of issues. In my opinion, I also believe that we need to handle this issue of the chair, even if they have thick skin. Because remember, this document is supposed to help people who have not been as involved in the process, and to give sort of a guidance. That doesn't mean it'll ever be used, but since it could be used, it could flush it out. Do people have any problem with Marika, I don't know why I keep mispronouncing her name today, Marika putting some sentence or two in that regard? Okay, I see Cheryl, it says that's okay. So, Marika, as I hear, what we're going to do is we're going to take out the wording that's in quotes and we're going to put in reference and then a link to those standards as they've been adopted by the board.
Okay.
Then we're going to flush out this process a little bit more. And then Aubrey, were you saying you disagree with us putting any more guidance documents, in other words, the everything below the yellow highlighted session, or would that should that just be a link? Or I may not have.
I would probably disagree with having it in line there like a normative. If it was a footnote pointer to, you know, here are three informative examples that may aid people, and then if we can find something that includes tolerance into that example, then that would be fine. But not as normatives. I think the only thing we can have as normatives are things that have been through community review and are board approved. I think anything else is informative, and but has no normative value, and shouldn't be in line. And that's kind of like my cutoff view on that.
How about anybody else have a position?
I'm happy to have it linked to, or such types of documentation linked to.
And I agree with the footnote comment, but I don't have a vote. So I'm going to ask, do others believe that putting it in as a footnote with this and maybe a couple of other examples, hopefully one that would talk about tolerance, are we in agreement with that?
Yes. Fine with me, Sophia.
Cheryl, yes.
Sure, you're on there.
All right. Marika, you four-headed.
Sorry, what did we disagree on?
We agreed that the examples that you give below the yellow,
mm-hmm.
rather than being in the text of the document, the full-bodied text, we would make reference to those documents in a footnote as an informative document they may want to consider.
Okay, so but the only one we have there for now is this statement on respectful online communication. Are there any others that should be mentioned there?
If we can find them that say tolerance, Cheryl here, if we can find them that say tolerance, as Avery pointed out, that would be very useful. It might be a little research job, though.
Yeah, and I'll help look for something, but I this is Avery again. I'm just concerned that we're losing the notion of tolerance in our world.
Okay. We're going to look for perhaps another example that discusses tolerance. All right, 3.5, and this is going to be the end of it for today. Now, this is the important one.
Jay Scott, I've stepped away for a moment, but I'm still on the audio.
Okay. This is the section that talks about the chair, in consultation with the chartering organization liaison, is empowered to restrict the participation of someone who seriously disrupts the working group.
Yep.
Restriction will be viewed by the chartering organization. Will be reviewed by the chartering organization. Generally, the participant should first be warned privately and then warned publicly before such a restriction is put into place. In extreme circumstances, this requirement may be bypassed. And Aubrey, you have a comment.
Oh, me and my comments. Should just learn not to read stuff. Which one are we on? The rules of engagement?
3.5.
Rules of engagement, 3.5.
This thing keeps blinking out on me, so I don't see what I'm looking at. Can't see my comment at the moment. Come on. Tolerate this tool. There it is.
This is Subhaya. May I ask a question?
Sure.
What? While she's reading it. This requirement may be bypassed. What kind of extreme circumstances are we looking at? Somebody burning the building down or something? I mean, what are we...
That would certainly work, yes. I mean, just, you know, somebody that basically goes into screaming and throwing things at people and
okay,
you know.
Fine.
I mean, you can imagine such excessive forms of behavior that you just do it on the spot and then you go get permission. But by and large, you don't want to do it. But sometimes, you know, if somebody starts throwing things at
you. Perhaps we should make that a bit... I understand it's ICANN-Y, but my form on this would be, fine, extreme circumstances, the requirement may be bypassed, but there should be an opportunity that after that bypass is over, that within a period of time, the person who has, who's creating the problem still has the right to appeal, right? I mean,
it's right below that.
Temporarily he's bypassed, but he can still go forward and within a reasonable period of time has his say.
By Cheryl here, believe me, when you've had a meeting where punches have been thrown and a chair was about to be picked up, you want to get security in.
Sabai, the way it's laid out now is that you have to go through the liaison unless it's an extreme circumstance. But if you look below, in either circumstance, as written, working group member has a right to appeal to the charting organization chair.
It has to be there.
Okay. I'm sorry,
Aubrey? Yeah, my comment, now that I've reread it, has to do more with the placement of the comment before. And we're in a section about chucking people from the list, and then we're referring to someone who feels they're being systematically ignored. And what I'm saying is, yeah, that's a really good reason to appeal, but it doesn't seem to pertain to a section on, you know, where we're talking mostly about that. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was just my reading it. But you say this section contains procedures for handling any member who is perceived persistently and continually obstructs. And maybe I'm just misunderstanding that anyone who believes that his or her contributions are being systematically ignored or discounted should first discuss the circumstances. So I guess when I first read it, I wasn't sure it applied and that it was in the right paragraph. Now rereading it, I could see how you could read it to sort of say, I blew up because everybody's ignoring me. So what you're advising that person is, don't blow up. First talk to your chair. But I'm not sure that it's properly placed.
This is Subaria. I also want to say one other thing, is that I'm a little concerned about the fact that if somebody, I am all for, practical and moving forward, if somebody's difficult, that we can bypass this and move on. I mean, I'm really for it. But on the other hand, there's still the rights of the person who has been, set aside. Now, the question is, if they have been asked to leave or, in this process, my worry is that they've been temporarily asked to leave, but their sort of hearing with the chartering organization or whatever, the way they can appeal, if that process is dragged out for a year or two or three, then that's not fair either, right? So is there some idea or notion of a time frame that an appeal would be adhered to properly,
What I would suggest is that we create a separate section under 3 that it deals with appeals by itself. Sets out a process for appeals that would have some times associated with it as well. What do you think?
It's okay. I mean, for me, it's fine. I mean, as long as it's there somewhere, a separate section might be worth it too.
Well, it just talks about just generally appeals regards to these issues. So that would be my next suggestion, Marika, if we could maybe put in a 3. It would probably need to go at the very end, because if you wanted to appeal anything, it would be like 3.7. A new 3.7, and it's an appeals process that would apply to appealing with regards to anything. And we sort of need to think that through and flesh that out. But that's what I would suggest. Do I hear others?
Agree. Cheryl?
Sounds reasonable. This is Aubrey.
So it basically says, and then in each individual section that talks about a decision being made where an appeal would apply, we could say, subject to the right of appeal in as outlined in section blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So they just know that that this decision is always subject to appeal, and that's spelled out for you as well. Okay.
Yep.
It is 57 past the hour. I think the next one is a biggie.
Mm.
In fact, because it is so big, I suggest that we deal with this on our meeting, and we do
yep.
not have a call next week, given that there may be different travel schedules for folks heading to Seoul. So our next meeting would be the in-person meeting. I believe that's going to be on Sunday. Is that something that everyone agrees, that we should wait till we meet on Sunday to go forward?
Yeah.
Subhaya, I agree.
Yep, sounds good.
Cheryl
yep.
agrees. Aubrey agrees. Wow, that's the most agreement we've had all day.
The agreement to not do work. Yes, stall the work, put it off.
Okay, on that positive note.
On Sunday, what time? 9 a.m.?
Hello?
The actual...
Hello?
On
what
Sunday.
Time is it on Sunday?
9 o'clock
morning. What? 9 o'clock? And anywhere particular location decided? No, we don't know.
Yeah, it is. I think it is decided, but I don't have the schedule in front of me at the moment.
Okay.
But it is in one of the two GNSO rooms that will be
okay.
probably, you'll know them by heart by Sunday.
Hopefully, it will be posted there.
Yeah.
When?
It's going to be published, right? It's going to be published. I mean, it's part of the regular schedule.
Hi,
Hello.
Sorry, were you looking for something on the schedule?
What room is this in at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday?
On Sunday, we've got Emerald and Bellevue.
It's in the Emerald room.
And it's in the Emerald room, yes.
Okay, great.
And there
thanks.
Is a direct. Transcribing there. In the other room, there is where there will be recording and a transcription afterwards.
Okay,
and
guys.
And
getting
there's
remote
participation.
Jay Scott, can you just, before you go, can you just note at the beginning of that meeting, I will be delayed because I have to start off my day
okay.
in the other room, but I will be attending.
All right, thank you.
Bye, all.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.